empty church because this is the way that preachers do it, to have multiple buildings on there. We have several buildings. We have an auditorium down in front of the school. We have one up in the Family Life Center. We have one downstairs for the kids down there. So we start off our program so that people listening to us by live stream. We're coming to you from the main auditorium of Calvary Independent Baptist Church. Glad to see you all this morning. Glad to have those folks with us too. And excellent job with the songs this morning. And I did say, I don't know, in the last two or three sermons, I don't know exactly when I spoke, because we were doing it here, down there, and doing it at evening earlier time than the Wednesday service, and then playing it later, that I believe the disease, the virus, whatever you want to call it, is God sent. We got preachers that are afraid to say that. Well, there's only two ways about it. This did not catch God by surprise. God knew it was going to happen. So he either willed it, allowed it to happen, or he made it happen, either way. But I think he made it happen, just as the verses you read. God sent this punishment on the world, and particularly on America. And I said in one of the sermons, and I've kept repeating it, two basic reasons. One, to get lost people to the idea this is not the tribulation. This is probably a Sunday school picnic compared to what the tribulation will be like. But this is coming. That's the one reason. The second reason is to wake the church up. We have gone to sleep. We're more in love with pleasure than we are with God. The church is the last thing. And you can see it from the way Christian people are reacting to it. They'd rather go to some kind of a pleasure thing than they would to be in church and then give you the excuse. Now listen, I want to say again, anybody that feels like you're afraid to come and you make your choice, I'm not telling you that. You're sick, yeah, stay away. But I'm telling you, there's something different when the mindset is all okay with everything else that goes on, which is far more dangerous in my mind, and the church backseat. Oh, well, might catch something. Yeah, they might. They might catch a Holy Spirit and get fired up and want to do something for Jesus, wouldn't they? That'd be something. But these verses and this chapter that we have before us, and back one of the sermons before, I don't know if it was Sunday morning or Sunday night, in chapter 53, we went over that and we talked about that, about the birth and life and ministry of Christ on earth, to include his death, burial, and resurrection, the very heart of the gospel. And I said, I believe it was last Sunday night when we spoke to that chapter and those verses, we said, I believe it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher of London, England, years ago, who said, Isaiah is the Gospel of John in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 53 is John 3:16. And so we believe that those things are the very heart of the gospel. Now, this chapter 54 that we're going to look at today is about his church, his bride, and its last witness on the earth. And we're going to talk about it this evening, wherever we are, here, there, down there, or in the air or somewhere. But we're going to talk about it. And he starts, I use the word teasing, I don't mean it in a bad way, us with how good we're going to have it in the tribulation. We'll be talking about that tonight. And Wood's been talking a lot about the rapture, so all this should tie together in your life and excite you about the coming of Christ. But this chapter 54, you see, when God made man and put him on this earth, that was the most important thing that he did. When he made everything else, it said he made this and it was good. He made that and it was good. He made this and it was good. And he said he made man, and it was very good. And then he made woman. And Adam said, God said, what are you going to call her? And he said, woman. Oh, woman. You know, if we'd get excited about our wives at the first time we saw them as woman, I want that woman to be my bride, my wife. You know, we need to get excited about that again. But this is talking about his church. So that was the most important thing. Then the nation Israel became the most important thing with Father Abraham. And he brought about the nation. And the nation kept sinning, backsliding, and he'd send the tribulations up on them, put them in captivity. And finally, he has set them aside. He said, I'm setting you aside, and I'm going to get me a bride out of the Gentile bride. That's what we are, the church. And he talks about in the book of Romans how the Gentile bride has been grafted into the main tree, and we all become a part of the family of God. So let's get started a few things here. I believe he's speaking to a time like now that the church should be. In verse 1 there, he talked about singing and being happy. We should be a singing church and we should be happy. We should not be down. And I think there was 500 and some verses when I checked the verse out about singing. Singing because we're happy. We don't want to sing those sad songs about somebody come and stole my wife and drink all my beer and took her, and I'm sitting here drinking the last one, and there's a tear in that one. We're not talking about songs like that. We're talking about songs that excite us. In Exodus 15:1, after they had crossed the sea and God had parted the sea for them, I'm going to ask you something. Has God ever parted the seas for you in your life? He has for me many times. Sometimes they were just a small mud puddle, but at least he parted them. But sometimes they were pretty big too. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. He just took that Egyptian army and their horses and threw them in the sea and let those people go across on dry land. We have some great theologians now in some of our great great seminaries who have gone so liberal. They now explain, well, it was a season and a time of the year when the east winds were blowing, and it happened to part the water enough that they could get across. The Bible said they walked across on dry land all at once. They didn't give it 3 days for it to dry and prepare for Moses and the people to come down. Isn't it amazing how much we'll... Somebody said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't think I do either. You've got to believe a lot of crazy stuff if you're an atheist, right? We stop and think about it. I used to tell my kids when we'd start, and maybe I had Randy in there, I don't know. We'd start with the history, and they want to give you the geography of Pennsylvania, and they give you all this evolution about how it was formed and all that. I said, listen. And of course, the kids knew I was a pastor, and they would, Mr. Hodge, do you believe this stuff? So I said, listen. There's only two ways you can go. Number one, you can believe nothing took nothing and made something. Or number two, you can think God took nothing and made something. And I know he did because I was nothing and he made something out of me. Amen? So it's not a difficult choice you have to make. And I'd give them extra points if they'd put down and write down and tell me why they believed in the resurrection, why they believed in various things. Another verse, Moses, Exodus 15:21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. She added a verse to it. Sing, sing, lift your voices up. And he says in Exodus 32:18, and he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing. Do I hear? The angels are singing. The angels were praising when Jesus came the first time. We've got the job of telling the story in Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto our God. Strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. When I get back to feeling and we get the choir back, I want to sing in a choir again. And they always know who makes the mistake because I sing the loudest. And I make the most mistakes. But those cowards will go mumbly over words. Nobody hears what they said, and they sing it just as wrong as I did. That really gets me. Sing aloud. It's a beautiful day. It's a wonderful time. We're the church of God. We're supposed to tell this rotten world that the virus is not the problem. Sin is the problem, and God is the cure. And God knows who's got it and who doesn't have it. He don't need to do any testing. He can put his finger right on the person, and God can heal it. And tell me why one woman, 99 years old, can still walk around and be alive, and somebody 23 can die. I don't know. Only God knows. When it comes your time and your number's up, the lever's pulled, you're out of here. And you better be ready to meet the God of heaven, because if you don't, brother, this is just like a Sunday school picnic compared to what hell's going to be like. I will sing, I like this, we have it in one of our songs, right? In Psalm 81 or 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth. Will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Remember singing that? Wow, I put you right to sleep. No, I could do that. 1 Corinthians 14:15 in the New Testament, talking to the church. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I like that. My charismatic friends, listen, going to pray. Oh, I'm praying in the Spirit. Jibber, 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 jibber. I don't know what I prayed, but I prayed because that was the Spirit. I'll pray with understanding. Understanding. I have enough trouble with words I do know. I sure don't want to be using a word I don't know and get myself in a lot more trouble. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. And when they want you to hold a note a certain amount of times and you want to go on to the next note, who says that the guy that wrote that new has got any more right to sing it the way he wants to? And I love hearing the country singers singing the songs of the gospel, and every one of them sings it a different way. So what? We should be able to sing it the way we want to, right? He says in Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. People say, well, I'm afraid I'll mess up. Well, mess up. So what? We're all a bunch of mess anyway. God just cleaned us up and made us his children and made us into the church. Revelations 15:3, I will sing the song of Moses. We'll be singing the same song that he already wrote. The servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The Lamb's Jesus Christ, right? Great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So the first thing that we ought to do during this coronavirus is to pray and sing. To sing the praises. Get into the church. It's not wrong to sing. We didn't have much singing when you guys weren't here. Thank you for being back. We can sing. The second point he makes in this chapter is enlarge the church ministry. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. We're afraid that we're going to get people in the church when that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to grow the church. We're supposed to be bringing more people in. And I like what Jabez did in 1 Chronicles 4:10. I think I prayed this prayer too much because he does. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He was basically saying, give me more to do. I want to do more for my God. We can find more time for pleasure, more time for this, more, and less time for God. Oh, we might as well shut down Wednesday night. Oh, we might as well shut down Sunday night. Oh, we might as well shut down the Sunday school. And after a while, you got three or four gray heads and some guy from seminary that don't know whether he was cut board or punched and nothing's going on. And we wonder why. We got to get out and get them in. Bring them in. We'll talk about that tonight in the great invitation. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Mama said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. It's hard to do wrong when you're doing right, but it's easy to do wrong when you're doing nothing. They say the booze sales went up 50% since this virus. Suicides have climbed. You know why? Because they're sitting home alone, don't know what to do with themselves. You know, this has been some good times for families to really get to know one another again. And do things. Shut off the television. Only if you turn it on and get it on. They got a lot of those old movies playing. I mean, there's some good ones, too. I like the gunsmoke, shoot 'em up kind. But there's other good ones in there, too. Listen to some of that stuff. clear your head with some good things about America, about God, about your own life, and about things that you ought to be doing. And he said, thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And he got so much he just couldn't hardly keep up with it. Some people are afraid they're going to do something. I just don't have the time. I just can't do it anymore. I just, isn't it something? And I don't want to dry up. I want to burn up, don't you? I want to burn out for God. Lay around and dry up and be nothing but a... And do you ever notice how people become whiners and complainers when they're not doing anything? They can find fault with everything. I mean, they even find fault with how I part my hair. I tell you, I thought I had a good job of it, but they don't seem to like it. Psalm 119:32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Listen to me, every one of you. We all need to get a bigger heart. I don't know what we're going to do about the kids on Wednesday night, but we've got to do something. We've got to have a heart for people, and a heart for people that don't know the Savior. That's how we please God. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son to come into this world that we might have eternal life. So we got to get our heart enlarged. We got to say, Lord, we want to do more. We got these buildings. We want to use them for the cause of Christ. We want these grounds to be to everybody that goes by. That's the place where they love people. That's the place where they're trying to get people to come. That's the place. And by the way, I think we have some flyers. The car show is on for the last Saturday in June. When I first came here, this young man walked up to me and said, I think about the second or third Sunday, you know, have you ever thought about a car show? I said, I don't even know what it is, but we'll see. And we've been doing it. It's been one of the biggest hits we've ever had. People are already asking me. I met a man the other day. Want to know when it's going to start. Bring me some flyers. I'll pass them out. The community gets excited about that. We get them on our grounds. We have an opportunity. And if one soul gets saved as a result of it, it's worth it all. Amen? And I'm hoping to be eaten by then. And I'll have a bowl of ice cream in my hand the whole time. Amen? That's all right with you folks, right? So we sing and we give the message that we want to do more for God. And then, number three, and you were having songs that really fit with that, fear not. Somebody sent me a part of a message. There is, this is scientifically proven, that fear attacks and weakens your immune system and makes you more vulnerable for this virus. You sit at home quivering and shaking and afraid you're going to touch somebody's hand that's got this, and some postman or UPS man will drop a box on your door, and they say that virus will stay on there for 24 hours, and you go out and pick it up, and you got it, and you didn't leave your cotton-picking house. How about that? Take them apples and eat them, huh? All right? Fear not. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not. Fear not. God doesn't ever say fear. The only thing God says to fear is him. I was talking about the military things, but the guys getting killed in the foxholes. Back in World War II, I had a friend, and he was in a squad, and he was the assistant squad leader. And the assistant squad leader took his place at the rear of the squad. The squad leader was in the front to lead. Leaders ought to lead, shouldn't he? Amen? Believe that? Leaders ought to lead. The general was inspecting the squad. He went down and inspected everybody, and he came to my friend, who at that time was assistant squad leader, and he was a corporal. And he said, and what do you do, corporal? He said, I'm the assistant squad leader. He said, what does the squad leader do? He said, I take up the rear. And he said, why do you take up the rear? He said, I make them more afraid of me than the enemy. That was his job. God's job is to make us more afraid of him than we are of the enemy. More afraid that we don't do what God wants us to do and afraid we're going to do something and die. We're all going to die sometime. And I'm not saying rush it. I'm not saying get out of here and act a fool and do it crazy. I'm just saying do right. Pray every morning. Wash your face. Wash your hands. Remember, wash your hands first. Right? Oh, my goodness. We learned that in kindergarten, didn't we? How many of you ever read that book? All I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Really, seriously. And it is a very important book. And you'll get a lot of knowledge from that if you've never read it. As a principal of a high school, I read that. I said, oh my, we need to get back to teaching these kind of things. The three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, right? And Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, this is why God loved Moses, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. God says, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. And if you don't take care of my business, I'll really take care of your business. Okay? We got that. Romans 8:15. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God says, if we really have the Holy Spirit, then we don't have that. It'll take that away from us. But you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We got God, and God's all you need. Listen, one trip to the hospital could take all your insurance, all your money, everything you got. Everything could be wiped away. And when you lay down that casket, all you're going to have is God. If you don't have him, you have nothing. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness. You say, Pastor Roger, you're awful bold. I'm only bold in the Lord. I'm as stupid as anybody else. I do dumb things. I get whipped by God. But I know who the boss is. And I know when I'm wrong and he's right, and I have to admit that. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are God's representative. This is the bride of Christ he's talking about. This is the one thing that God loved was man. Then he loved the Israelites. Now he loves the church. Everything God's doing from heaven right now is focused upon his church. If the world gets in the way, it's trouble. If the world help him. Somebody wants to talk about how mean and bad Trump is. Well, you know, Daniel had heathen kings. And somehow they saw something in Daniel, and they wanted to go after his God, and even made a declaration, we're going to make Daniel's God our God. And that's what we got. And I didn't hire a Sunday school teacher. I hired a plumber. And I think he's starting to clean out the plumbing lines, and you know what's in plumbing lines. So, and you don't want somebody that's a clean, nicey guy. You want somebody that's not afraid to get his hands dirty to clean up the mess, right? Okay, so much for that. Fear. We shouldn't have fear if we got God. We got the fear of the Spirit. 1 John 4:8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Everybody that's getting boozed out of their mind, the guy that shoots up a bunch of people, they all are fearing. They got fear in their life. They got no fear of God. And we've come to the place in the church where we act like we don't fear God. Well, I do what I want to do. Whoa, don't say that too close to me, because God might hit you and I don't want him to miss and get me. I'm serious. But people just bold face. I mean, listen to me. I'm not a legalist, but can I say this? We can mow yards. We can go fishing. We can, on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and say, you know, I deserve some relaxation. I deserve some fun time. I've been working hard. God said, okay, we'll just keep you from working at all. See how you like that. Hello? You listening? Wished I could go back to work. Pastor Oz, I'd like to get away from the house a little bit. They're driving me crazy. Yep. He says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you need to work on it. Okay, number 5. Remember, we are the bride of Christ. In Revelations, he tells us that. The church is God's bride, Jesus' bride. He selected, God selected for his son. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. One of these days, God's going to have enough and take us out. Revelation 21:9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. God is getting us ready. The bride comes down the aisle in white. No wrinkles or no spots. Paul writes to the church, and he says, no spot or wrinkle, because you're going to be presented as a bride to Christ. That's very important. That's very important. Sometimes it takes a lot of ironing. Roger, you remember when we was getting ready to stand inspection, we had to get out those uniforms we hadn't on in a while, and they have wrinkles in them. We have to iron them. We're going to stand before the general. We've got to get those wrinkles out. We've got to get the wrinkles out. You got blemishes on you. This is the operating altar where God operates on hearts. Come unto me. Then he said in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is God's voice. We need preachers with enough guts to say what is right and what's wrong. When David, the king of Israel, sinned, Nathan, the preacher, came and presented him a story sermon. He said a man had a little sheep, and you know the story and how it goes. And after David heard that sermon, he said to Nathan, that man ought to have to pay and pay dearly. And Nathan pointed his finger at him and said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. But we don't, well, that might make somebody mad, Pastor Hodge. Well, at least we have some emotion of some kind. When they just sit and look at you like a bump on a log, and they don't sing, and they don't come, and they don't do, and don't get mad either. Oh, we go. We need to shake them up, stir them up. We used to get a bunch of bees in a jar and stir them up, shake them up, and turn them loose and watch them fly. Did you ever take a June bug and put a string on him and let him fly out through the sky and then jerk him back down? No? We didn't have much way to. Do you know something? If I'd had any sense, I'd been a millionaire today. We had a game we played. I forget what they call it, but we did it with the real way. We had wagons and horses, and we would take big washers off the wagon, about that big, and we'd split a big barn rope, and one at one end, one at the other, and we'd grease it so it would slide fast, and the key was to see how close it'd come before it hit your knuckles. Now, wait a minute. One of these companies come out with a little plastic thing for the kids to do like that. I thought, my Lord, why didn't I think of that and make one, sell it, and patent it? I would have had $1 million. Huh? Well, so much for that. I was thinking about, every once in a while I'd see one of those girls down to church. I was thinking, I went to church for one reason only, because they had a few girls. We come away from school, we didn't see nobody but the Hodges until September to go back to school. And sometimes we didn't go back in September. Dad said, you can't go yet. We don't have the corn cut. The bottom's going to be flooded. We got to get the corn cut. And we cut it like this, not riding a tractor either with a computer on it. You don't care about that, do you? What's the conclusion of all this? How are we handling it? How are you handling this virus in your life? I'm not telling you you got to do this or you got to do that. But I'm saying we as God's people, we've got an opportunity to witness to this world, and we better be doing it, because we're going to be standing before God. In Isaiah 54:13, he said, and all thy children shall be taught. I told you he was teasing them about what we're going to talk about tonight. Think of a day when all of our children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And our children are not at peace. They're not at peace. We've tried every way in the world to stop drugs. We've been spending on that since Ronald Reagan, and even before that, we've been spending tons of money. We've had the most brilliant minds of doctors and all kinds of people, psychologists, and it's gotten worse. And half of them are drugged up. You know what I'm talking about? And then he says, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Hey, I'm not begging for the virus, but one step from here to there, and I'm in heaven. Praise God. no viruses, no oppression, no problems, no difficulty. In the last verse, he says, behold, thou shalt surely gather together. Oh, that's what we're trying to do, get people in here, right? I'm not going to church. I might get that stuff. I'm just staying home. Some thought, isn't it? But not by me. Whosoever shall gather against thee shall fall for thy sake. God said, I'll take care of all your enemies. You just take care of my work for me. God is holding back the second coming. God is holding back the angels for us to have one last chance at getting this world and bringing him to salvation. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, these are perilous times that we're living in. And they're fearful times for people that don't know you. But God, it shouldn't dominate the church and the minds of Christians. Lord, we should be happy that we can have the answer. We can tell people there's no fear in perfect love. We got all the scripture. We got all the answers. We got them right in the Bible. And Lord, if they won't listen, we go to the next door, the next house, the next place, next time, next opportunity. Lord, we have a lot of time to think and to pray. Help us prepare for your coming again and getting people saved. Enlarge our borders. Give us more to do. Give us a great car show. Give us a great vacation Bible school. Give us a great time, Lord, of reaching and touching people. Help us, Lord, to do thy bidding before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. While the piano's playing softly for a few moments, maybe you want to bring your burdens, your problems to the altar. And maybe you're okay, but you got family members that are bugging you and saying, I'm scared. And you don't know how to deal with them. If you want to come pray for them, this is the time to come. Family members, friends, co-workers, or whoever they might be, come to the altar now. Physically, come now if you need to come. You got any problems, any difficulties, this is the time. And you that are watching in the audience, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now, say a prayer. Here's a model prayer you could follow. Dear Lord, in the best way I know how, I confess that I'm a sinner. But I don't want to die and go to the terrible hell. And right now, I invite Jesus Christ into my heart and life, because I believe he is the Son of God and the Savior. And save me, and thank you for saving me. You do that, and we'd love to hear from you. We're going to sing a song and extend the altar for you through a couple more verses, the first and last verse of a song Travis has picked out for us. And if God's speaking to your heart, you do whatever God's asking you to do. What are we singing?
292, nothing between.
292. Nothing between. Get it all swept out from between you and God.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world elusive dream. I have renounced all sin. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between the soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Preventing the least of his favor, keep the way clean. There's nothing between, verse 4, nothing between, in many trials thou the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll trumpet the last with nothing. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing prevent the least of his favor. Keep the way
Amen. The sanitizer back there before they go into the nursery is full. If you need sanitation, I got some. If you need some, be sure to use it. Amen. We'll see you tonight. We're going to be here or there. Everybody for outside? Okay, we'll be outside. All right, Brother Mike, would you have a closing prayer, please?